I mean, I've been doing, we work in Argentina basically interviewing police officers for several years, and I just finished my book, and this was something that was supposed to be, you know, the last chapter, which is the state, you know, how to build up from police practices up to the state. And I ended up talking about the state, but there was something that completely overflew, and because it's how to bring back this discussion and everything I learned about police into debates about state and capital, and you know, where do we place the police? So three kinds of questions from I mean, Argentina, being an Argentine and growing up there, are behind my main questions. Why the police? I mean, what the first one is, of course, state terror in the 70s, and how state terror, and historians are revisiting this now, and they're gathering more information, how the decision about bringing up or carrying out the politicized genocide, state terror, the annihilation in the 2000s, apparently came out more clearly after a big general strike in, you know, the mid-1975. And so, but one thing, I mean, we tend to think of these military coup in Latin American state terror associated with the military, but what has become more clear, and now even in terms of the prosecutions that are being carried out in Argentina, is the role that police officers have as informers, as, you know, they provided the groundwork for all that massive state terror. I mean, that the military couldn't have done them by themselves. So the police appear there, and then there are these new forms of violence, of police violence and police killings. Like the state in Argentina in the last years, since 2003, has committed to the defense of human rights. I mean, prosecutions have been reopened, memories all over the place. However, the killings by the police, especially of the poor and young male, have been mounting. And so there's this kind of noise there between the defense of human rights and his growing or rising death by the police. And then the third one, and this is what I mostly did in my book, is how, I mean, you must have heard and watched movies like The Take and the Corazón de Fábrica. After the collapse of the financial markets and the state in Argentina in 2001, how the recovered factories came about, and then the popular assemblies and all these grassroots, the direct democracy movement that was amazing. But at the same time, and actually from earlier, there's this rising fear of crime and concerns with security, which in Argentina is framed as fear of crime, and when people claim seguridad, they claim protection from crime. So there are these two things, and actually it has no clear relationship with real trends. So it completely grew out of proportion, and this is what I mean, basically first moved me into doing this research. And so what is there? What is the relationship between these demands for seguridad and the reconstitution of the conditions of accumulation and government, I mean, I'm using Foucault, governmentality or governance. And so basically I'm trying to show how these two things are together. When the state touched bottom and capital touched bottom in 2001, people didn't believe in anybody, you know, all everybody must go and all that. But after these rising demands for security, the state regains legitimacy, and at the same time, there's a parallel movement there between accumulation and legitimacy of the state that I think is crowned by this discourse and practices of seguridad. And when we call for seguridad, the police come, and there's more room for police governance. So, and basically, so in trying to generalize or to ask for questions, it seemed to me, or I'm thinking that perhaps after crisis, this moral panics play a role, not only in Argentina, but also we saw this in the US, and you guys just talked about that, and the UK after the crisis of Fordism. And so what is the relationship between that and the regaining legitimacy of the state and reconstructing conditions for accumulation and, you know, these forms of police governance? So moving into what I'm going to discuss now about the police, of course, I see the pervasiveness of policing and police power. I mean, my main interest is in the scene of police-citizen encounters, which I see as the most concrete scene of governance, where all the main traits of the state are present in that and reenacted when the police meet the people. But of course, police power presents itself in different layers, in police practices, the police institutions, the state's exercise of police powers through other agencies, and also transnational policing, and for instance, as in the policing of migrants. I mean, we have, so there are all these different layers and networks of police power. So in Capital, I'm not going to be talking about Marx. I mean, that's a different piece, but Marx provides us with very rich insight on the police throughout his work. However, it's left kind of there. So for instance, just two things that I find particularly important. In Capital, Marx offers insight on the role of the police and practice of policing in disciplining people and transforming them into wage workers. With all the force of the state administering its bloody discipline, the police, he notes, helps to accelerate the accumulation of capital by increasing the degree of exploitation of labor. And then in the Jewish question, he tells us, he assimilates security and police, and he tells us that that basically goes, that is the highest concept of civil society, and basically that is the main, capital main technology of governance. But there are all these things, that all these images and great insight that have not been yet re-examined or revisited as it needs, with the exception of the work of Mark Nuklaus in the last decade or so, and Mark has done this from a Marxian perspective, and he has two main books, The Fabrication of Social Order, which is the history and analysis of police power, and The Critique of Security. But other than that, we have this rich insight, and of course, Benjamin and Gramsci, but this is something that still needs to be done. And then most of the work in police is echoing the contributions, of course, of Michel Foucault and Rancière and Agamben and Esposito, and I'm influenced by all of them too. But so one thing that I want to discuss with you, and I'm looking for feedback on, is that I see policing really embedded in capital as part of the social relations. So when we talk about the state being a form or dimension of capital that is a social relation, but policing for me represents the state in a more concrete way. So some of the images I have, or I'm examining or trying to work with, is trying to see police as the most condensed manifestation and materialization of the state, police as also not differently from the state, but as the most concrete expression of the state, and as a dimension of capital. So, of course, this is not how police are usually seen. We have still pretty much liberal representations of police are dominant, so this liberal instrumental understanding to the police as mere law enforcers who maintain an order that is assumed to be legitimate and democratic is still prevails. They come from the 19th century. From the 19th century, the Peelian model in England. But of course, the police do much more than that. So what it represented is everyday exercise in the streets by police officers, by the police institution, or by broader exercises of police power by other state offices. At all levels, this power appears as essentially boundless and beyond any kind of scrutiny. So far from the traditional representation of police power as law enforcer attached to the law, police has nothing to do with the law. The law is basically the alibi that the police use, different exercises of police power use to legitimize itself. But actually, in the end, Michel Foucault compares police with a coup d'etat, a permanent coup d'etat, because of how formless and boundless police power is and how it has nothing to do with the law. Police intervention presents itself always as enforcing when they feel that there's something out of place and intervene with restoring order, and only then they look for the rules that they can use to legitimize what they did. So the police perform a key governing role, and this is something we're seeing more and more empirically, and also, you know, ties back to some theoretical traditions. It seems decisive in helping the reproduction of government and the reproduction of the state and capital. So, I mean, these police practices are basically in charge, in the end, pushing it. I see the state as this ensemble of practices that may or may not be organized in a hierarchical way. I mean, they are rather a network and a modular sort of practice that reproduces itself and reproduces the state. So even in terminal crisis of the state, as far as we can have these practices, the state will reproduce or reorganize itself from there, and so will capital. So one of my questions is not just mine, all of us who are studying police, is wouldn't we gain some new insight by revisiting this discussion between state and capital from this more rounded perspective of these concrete things that are embedded in police practices and how they contribute to capital. So one of the things that this discussion about the police and all the things that the police do in relation to workers and production puts into question is this idea, this assumption about the non-coercive character of capitalist production that we keep on, you know, sustaining, but things get so blurry as soon as we get into policing, because also policing, I'm talking about the police as an extension of the state, but the boundaries between public and private policing were never clear from the start. It's not a new thing either. I mean, actually, the Pillion Police in England were modeled after the private guards of the docks in London, so they are absolutely intertwined, and in that sense, the public police is basically a way in which the owners of capital can prorate or save some of the cost of paying for those services that otherwise would increase their cost of production. And so basically the entire society ends up paying for the policing of capital through the public police. However, I mentioned Marc Neuclaus, but also there's another work that is not that well known, but I find really, really interesting, and is Richard Scallion, and work done back in the 90s, but is a more historical and broader approach to the police, in which, and so let me go briefly through this historical perspective. And so far, I'm talking about the modern police, and so the modern police that we see as these professionalized bodies were put together, of course, in the 18th century. But historians, of course, have gone far back and tracked police to the emergence of police to the crisis of feudalism. And so in the 15th and the 16th century, we have police in Germany and then also in France, in those territories, in which these words are associated with the maintenance of order in communities and then with the recreation of order in those communities. And so the mayor, this German historian, he has shown that police came out as this strategy of reconstructing through rules the kinds of hierarchical orders that were before reproduced only organically within the feudal society. And so now we have to do that, and basically police is basically a strategy of containing and controlling the poor. And so Marc Neuclaus takes on this question and examines the organization of the modern police as a decisive move in the state's fabrication of social order. And so Neuclaus sees three moments or three steps. He sees how police first appears as this emergency legislation of police legislation to react to the dismemberment of feudal society, and then it moves into more positive connotations, which is something that Foucault has worked a lot about in the 18th century, the police state in Western Europe. This sort of welfare protective state associated with mercantilism, and then it moved into this 19th century liberal understanding of police. However, Niklaus goes far, I mean, he was further, and he shows that police, rather than reducing its scope in society as the liberal narrative tends to pretend that was the case, has actually expanded. And so he shows how many measures and practices that were coded as police before reappear in the 20th century as social welfare policies. And so there's actually a huge expansion of police. And then there's, of course, what you already mentioned with the crisis of Fordism and the reconstruction of capital under neoliberalism, we have this much more aggressive, not only carceral, but also police colonization of society in the name of, I mean, the broken windows theory, I mean, all the zero tolerance, but also all associated with community policing. So before, I mean, following the crisis of these former forms of accumulation, we have the police re-entering the communities, and we've talked about that before in different panels, re-entering the communities to recolonize them, and with that, re-expanding or re-strengthening the state, both the state and capital. So basically, but I mean, one thing that I appreciate about Robinson and Scaglione is that they go even back farther, and they do this amazing anthropological and historical research in which they show or they reconstruct the emergence of the police function as a separate or distinct function in society, and they show two or three things. Three important things. First, that the police function appears in the transition between stateless to state societies. Or stateless societies have mechanisms of control, but are mostly egalitarian, horizontal people, you know, taking care of each other. And then police appears in the crisis of that stateless society when, you know, the accident and the private appropriation of accident appear. But there's a moment of transition they show also in which this function still embraces or still reproduces a legitimate communal form of preservation of order. And so that kind of true communal practice, a set of practices of preserving order, are still embedded, if alienated, in police. And that, I think, is important because for two reasons. First, because it helps me understand why people care so much about the police. And I mean, the poor people who are the first victims of police and the police, they tend to legitimize the police a lot. And so it's something that is how this happened. And so basically, following their suggestion, I mean, they talk about the origin of state societies, but again, as it has been said before, these things are not back in time, but I mean, these origins reproduce themselves all the time. And so basically, before communities and communal forms of organization that get completely destroyed, and people become individualized and atomized, and they are basically abandoned. So when people demand care that used to be provided by these communal ties, we have these agents now providing care, but recalling those demands for care into security. And that's a connection I'm trying to make to see how the legitimate core that lies still there that has to do with care and the communal helps me make sense of why people, you know, and the poor, the victims of the police, still trust them and go and demand more policing. And the other thing that they say that is especially relevant for Latin America in particular, but is that this transitional form of police that first appears still embodying these communal practices and not yet serving the class, in that transition, what the state, the emergent state does is to dissolve these communal forms and to impose itself through clientage or clientele or patron-client relations. idea that people demand care. I mean, people who are have been isolated demand care, and we have these agents offering care, but now care is something that is done by the state. And so if you want to receive this, you have to enter this relation that reached actually its height with feudalism, but that we, clientele are so prominent in Latin America, especially among the most marginalized people, or people marginalized by the market and the state. And so these are ways in which I think that, I mean, these practices and the police reach out to the people and reproduce legitimacy for the state, and by doing so, recreate and this eases the recreation of atomization and disorganization of the people and the reconstruction and reproduction of the conditions of accumulation of capital. So, so in that sense, this is the clear thing that we have. I mean, okay. So basically, just to wrap up, what I was trying to do is just to identify major or basic police traits of police power, and some functions that police performs, especially in relation to capital. And basically, what I see that seems to me the most promising way of bringing all this back into these discussions between state and capital is to go back to the state derivation theory. The critique of Holloway and Picciotto, and I mean this idea of emphasizing the state as social relation. I mean, capital as a social relation and state as part of that, and trying to bring back police through that. But so basically, to end, I mean, police is this primal and differentiated form of power that actually Gramsci describes as being, and many others, executive, judicial, and quasi-legislative, all together, all at the same time. It actualizes forms of, or the exercise of sovereign prerogative, which has been pointed out to by Agamben, but it's like that, because it's this kind of power, the power beyond the law, that makes the law, as Benjamin showed. And then it's a form of power that kind of glues together different layers of governance, either state or whether state or market ones, and basically and with it, the functions, but basically this the idea that these practice of policing are kind of this again like the cell of the state, or the most basic, or almost, sorry for what I'm going to say, but I'm thinking of this in terms of as a commodity is to capital, police seems to be to me to the state, like the most concrete materialization that perhaps we can go back and what will we gain by